This show is brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey right now, and you're going to get 20% off of your first order of all of the great men's and women's underwear. They have t-shirts, very comfortable shorts, sweatshirts, anything you want to wear that's comfortable, MeUndies has it. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey to get 20% off of your first order with free shipping in the United States and Canada. And this show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off all of the great optimization products, Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. And I just saw that they're having a sale separate from this on their big kettlebells. So go to Onnit.com, use code word church to get 10% off of their optimization, and then go check out all the other products. And let's start the show.
Where's that microphone, Lee Syatt? Kick this motherfucker, Lee. To Wednesday, midday type podcast. Church of what's happening now.
I never get true answers, but I never tell no lies. I never walk the straight line, so I never get surprised. I don't ask for favors.
Are you fucking kidding me or what? It's 96 fucking degrees, eh? 96 degrees, September 30th, 2015. Jesus. The church of what's happening now, you bad motherfuckers. Where has the year gone? You got to ask yourself. It's fucking October 1st. Break out the fucking pumpkins. And that's about a crazy week out of Halloween, all of a sudden they're going to start advertising fucking Thanksgiving. All of a sudden you see fucking people with hats.
A week out of Halloween, they'll start doing it. They'll start doing it as soon as the Halloween candy goes down a little bit. I used to work at CVS. It was constant. It was immediately after the holiday. It's called the seasonal aisle, right in the middle of the store. Like, it goes straight from Christmas to Valentine's Day usually, or maybe New Year's to Valentine's Day. It's crazy.
It's a good shoplifting time of the year. Right from Halloween to fucking Valentine's Day, you could steal and bring shit back and put a sweater on, go to a party, sweat it up, and
with the new sweater on.
Well, fuck yeah. Mikey Flavor's in the fucking house.
Joey D.
Mikey Flavor, Coco. One of my old fucking brothers from back in the day. When did you get here from Boston, Mike?
As soon as I graduated from UMass, I went directly out to the West Coast to stay in San Diego.
Right.
Because I'd lived there the summer before, and I had a blast, dude. Junior year of college, summer break, went out there by myself, got some cool jobs. The women were unbelievable.
What did you do in San Diego?
I was a chef. Worked at a couple restaurants, curry place, upscale American cuisine place, and then like an upscale seafood place that was right on the ocean.
Now, was stand-up on the horizon already?
I wanted to do it. I came out to the West Coast to get into it. And I actually, funny you should say that, I had done one set in Boston, and then I went down to San Diego to do that open mic there as a second-time set in front of Craigie. You remember Craigie McFarlane? Anyways, I bombed hard, bro. I mean, to the point where I was like, why did I even bother? It was awful, dude. And then I made my way right up to L.A. I'm like, well, listen, if you're going to do it, you know, go up there and get it done.
And what year was that exactly? About 2000?
No, that was 90, probably 7.
Because we were in Rascals in 98, 99. Yeah. In Jersey.
Yeah, that's right.
Where'd we go in Texas that time where the chick had big tits?
Amarillo.
Julia.
No.
Yeah.
Julia. No, Lubbock.
Lubbock.
Dude.
Froggy
that
Bottoms.
That was so fun, Joey. It didn't even matter. The audiences were small, but we were just ripping them. We're in the middle of nowhere. Dude, what a blast.
We had a two-bedroom hotel, like a two-bedroom condo, the air conditioning.
Dude, you had the air conditioning to like -2. I felt like it was in Minneapolis in February, dude. Dude, you were killing me.
The best is when you get in the car with him, and it's immediately, like, I'm going to have to bring a jacket from now on. It's like,
dude, it was so cold, there was a cow leg hanging on the ceiling in the corner.
Freezing.
You were killing me, dude.
But we were there in the heat of the summer. Like,
it was brutal.
In August.
It was brutal, dude. But that's what makes it so special is that it's hot. You're in Texas. It's just you and your buddy. The audiences don't know what the fuck's happening. And you're just having a blast and rocking shows, man.
You know when you're an attorney and you go to court and you say, I'm here with my client, Mike Faberman. Mm-hmm. He's going to plead this, you know, due to a case, Jones versus Smith, 1682 property. You know, it's the same way for me with comedy. You ever go somewhere one night, and because I just told somebody this story about Julia. Somewhere we were talking about Texas comedy nights. Yeah. Dustin the Bar up at the Ice House. We were just talking about, let's face it, as a comic, let's face it. I started in Colorado, went to Seattle, came here. If I really have to say what state made me a comic, I got to say it was Texas. Because you had the Addison Improv, you had Houston, all those rooms. You had El Paso, you had Victoria, you had, you know, what the fuck are we talking about? Lubbock, Amarillo. You know, you could spend 3 weeks traditionally pretty much in fucking Texas.
Loved it.
Something about the first time I went to Houston, it was like, where the fuck have I been?
Yeah.
First time I went to Houston, Texas, I'm not lying to you, it was the September of 98. First time I went to Texas, I asked myself 2 days later, like, I thought I was cool. No, I know nothing about parties or life or cities. Houston had taken me from point A to point B. The food, the people, the ambiance. And then you go to Dallas. Then you go to El Paso, which is a border town. It's different. There's more Mexicans. Ooh. And they're very nice. And they're crazy. How many times did we go to Bart Reed's and cause fucking
too many
damage? Too many.
He won't even have us back.
Yeah, on the bus. Yeah, he won't have you back.
He won't have me back.
No, somebody just sent me a text. Oh, and he texted them, and they said no, and he never banned me officially. I just don't want to. It was just, you know, you did the room a thousand times.
That Monday night open mic in Houston, I drove hundreds of miles just to show up and be there several times. Just the vibe, the people, the you know, the audiences. It's just that Texas is one of the Houston was one of the best places to play. Loved it, man.
I love the Houston Improv now.
Yeah.
And I love the kid who runs it, and the people who run it. The Houston Improv is a great club, but it doesn't match to the memories we had. So it kind of weirds me out when I'm there. No offense to the club. It's a great club. I'm probably going to go back there next year. I love the fucking place. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if you are listening to Mike, Mike used to drive. It's 24 hours from here to Houston. It's 24 hours straight. Like, if you have a partner, straight. Crime with you.
Just gas.
Stop at El Paso, gas, eat something, and go. Mm-hmm. You know how many times I did that fucking run? 10? 12?
Yeah.
Like this. I knew it from the back of my fucking hand. You know, everything about it. You know,
and stop. That drive across Texas, dude, like, humbles you. It's like 12 hours in the same state, a whole day wasted driving across a state. Oh, it was awful.
You guys that want to get into comedy, man, great. That's the...
Dude.
You have to drive. That's the one thing.
I love driving.
You have to love to get in the car and go, okay, I'm going to roll 2 joints, and I'm not stopping this car until it's on E.
Yeah. And that's I'm on E.
And you're going from E to E.
Yeah.
E to E is when you stop, eat, stretch, roll 2 more joints, take a piss,
take
make
a nap.
Some calls, take a nap, whatever. But I would go tanks. I wouldn't stop before a tank. 3-4 hours. Oh,
could you...
It was worth it, too.
Could you make a living as a comic just in Texas? I don't know if now, but then?
I don't know about year-round. We're talking 12 fucking months.
Okay.
We're talking, you do a club twice a year. That's a lot. They don't know who you are. No, you'd have to add Louisiana, Mississippi, Arizona, New Mexico.
Tulsa.
Yes. Maybe a little northern Florida.
If let's say money wasn't an issue, right? Like, let's say you had all the money you wanted. Would you be like that kind of comic? I could see you enjoying that a little bit more.
It'd have to be smart put together, like a nice run of 4 or 5 cities, in and out, boom, boom, boom. But if you got big, dude, you could literally do like a Thursday, Friday, and then a Saturday, Sunday in 2 different cities.
Did you ever hear Tim Allen's argument with Jamie Masada?
No, I don't think so.
Tim Allen performs at the Laugh Factory from time to time. They make a big deal about it on Wednesday nights.
Right.
They put clean people around them. Tim's a great guy. I have nothing against Tim. He's one of my idols growing up in comedy. But there was a time when Tim and Jamie Masada were going at it because he just wanted to do 6 minutes.
Right.
And he offered to just do the open mic, but Jamie would fuck him and say, Tim Allen is going to be in the open mic, and there'd be 200 people there. Do you understand where I'm coming from? So I don't care how big you get. If you love comedy, one night you're going to go, you know what? Fucking Mike Fabian's at the Tulsa Suck My Dick.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. I'm an hour away. Let's say I'm a millionaire. I'm a big-time comic. If you really love comedy, You're going to go see Mike. And you're going to do 20 minutes because nobody's knowing you're coming to see it. There's no issue about money.
It helps the club.
Comedy is comedy.
One of the happiest I've ever heard you after a show was that coffee shop you did last year in Kentucky. You really liked that show.
Because there was no, I didn't have to worry about numbers.
Right.
And money.
Be funny.
I just put donations, and at the end of the night, I put four comics. I said, you comics split the four fucking people. There was $120, $130 I made that night because nobody ever gives a young comic a dime.
Right.
Nobody gives a young comic a dime. You know, we were in Vegas last week, and I got a little agitated by a couple moves.
Right.
Because I feel when a young comic has an opportunity, there's no thinking. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When a young comic, like when you come to me and you're 3 years and you go, Joey, I've been doing this for 3 years. I got 16 minutes. I really want to open for you. And I'm like, dog, you know what? Because you came at me like that, let's do this. And we go on the road a couple times. I want you to fucking go nuts out there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I love creating opportunities for young comics, but I want them going half-assed. Because I did that. I went half-assed. We call people, right? You pick up the phone and go, what's going on this weekend? Can I come down and do a couple spots? I don't want no money. I'll sleep on the fucking floor. Yeah. It's crazy. There's a difference between, you know.
It's a need and a want.
So that's a great question, Lee, because I got to tell you something. There's nights I just want to do comedy. I just want to go to the store for them to go Joe Diaz, and then I hear three claps, and nobody knows who the fuck I am. Mm-hmm. I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
You know, I go to the store now. They got me on the gazebo. You know, right. They clap. Gazebo. You follow me? Whatever the fuck it is. The
marquee.
Do you think you could go and like just use a different name? Not at the store, obviously, but if you went to like the middle of nowhere and said your name was.
Well, the comic would still, the booker would still want to go, who the fuck you are you?
No, not as like a headliner, but like even just to show up at an open mic in, I don't know, the middle of California.
I would love it. Yeah. I would love to just show up at open mics and do time from time to time, you know?
Pure comedy at its best, you know? Nobody knows who you are.
Nobody knows
who
you are.
They don't know what to expect, and you just rock it, and they're just blown away.
That's why I always say, that's why I was telling Mick the other day, doing those Mexican rooms about L.A., toughen you up, because nobody knows who the fuck you are at those bars. They got six drinks on them. They know nothing. They don't know who the fuck. You could be Cheech Rivera or Chicha Bastide. They don't know who the fuck you are. And that's what makes the challenge. Anybody could go into a comedy store, an improv, or a Lulu's coffee shop that advertise comedy every week, and people are prepared to go in there and laugh. Those Mexican bars, like I said, when you go in there, there's a Laker game or a Dodger game.
Swim.
Or you're in Buffalo and you got to go in between a Sabre game. Every state has
shut off the game in overtime.
They forgot. You sold out on Thursday, but they forgot the fucking Rockets are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
No, it's a different comedy show, brother. People are getting up. People can't focus. They're giggling, but they want to know who their fucking team is, like you on a Sunday.
Right, yeah.
If they were playing on 7 o'clock America's game, wouldn't you, if you were sitting there at a fucking boring movie, you're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
New England's playing right now.
I get why a lot of comics do Sunday shows, and I know you don't like them, but especially during football season, I don't even see the point. Like, for anybody, I don't see why the club's even open.
Well, some clubs don't look at it that way. They look at it, 80 people in the seat, two drinks apiece.
Yeah, well,
that's their Sunday night. At least they get a little, they're going to be there anyway. For me, I worked Sundays till fucking forever. I worked Sundays till 2003. And one day I said, you know what? I don't want to work Sundays no more. They're really a waste of my fucking time. Even though
it's the Lord's Day, man.
We had fun at the fucking the South Point that Sunday. That was a great show.
That's fun. But then it's just like imagine in Texas where football is everything. So Friday night is high school football. Saturday's college, Sunday's pros.
Monday's pros.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I gotta tell you, they have a Thursday night game.
Be crazy to book to get anybody to come out in Texas.
As sad as this sounds, some of the best shows I've had in this business have been on a Sunday night.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I had a chick take her fucking clothes off in Miami one time on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
At the fucking Laugh Stop in Houston, Sunday night games, a Sunday night, 100 people. Those 100 people are really 400 people. They're out to fucking laugh on a Sunday, brother.
Right.
So don't get me wrong.
Some of the best. Listen, I had a great time. I shot the special on Friday and Saturday. But on Sunday, I let loose. I got that valve and let fucking loose. And there were a bunch of old people in there. I got three emails. People hated me. But I let fucking loose, okay, on
that's
a Sunday
that's a
night.
Slow week.
Yeah, Sunday nights, you got to let loose. Everybody knows where we stand. It's been a long week, and we're going right
we're
into
out.
A fucking new one.
We're getting
we're
bad.
Going right into a new one, cocksucker. Yeah. So now you're in L.A. It's 1998. What possessed you to go to the Comedy Store?
Oh, man, it's... Come on, man. It was the stars that came out of the place. The place is historic. It's world-famous Comedy Store.
You knew about this coming in.
Bro, I was, you know, when I was a kid, it was always Dice and Kinison and Eddie Murphy. And you're like, these guys are rock stars of comedy. And they were bringing huge audiences and just rocking stadiums and specials. And you're like, that's the pinnacle. These guys are killing it. So I had to, you know, come out here, man.
Who was the first big name you saw at the store that took your breath away for a second?
Yeah. I mean, not huge star, but Freddie Soto.
Really?
I just went there, like, one of the first days in town. And the lineup was Johnny Sanchez, Freddie Soto, I think you, but Holtzman. Holtzman, dude. He insulted me. I wanted to go at that guy. I'm like, who the fuck is this prick? And then he ended up to be a good friend years later, man. Maniac, screaming at people, dude. It was funny, but I got mad, you know. But Soto was, dude, he lit up a small room like no one I've ever seen. You know
what
I mean?
In those days, yeah, at that point.
Dude,
yeah.
I saw him in the Billy Room in front of like maybe 5-6 people, and he was 100% on, you know what I mean? Animation, you know, he played everything out and he rocked that place. And I was like, whoa, he got that much out of that, you know, unopportunistic, performance, man. He was awesome. So then I just, you know, started to ease my way in, man, got a job there for a little while. And then you... I gave you a joint because what was the booker's name?
Ken Phillips.
Ken Phillips. He's not, like, give Joey Diaz his joint.
Now, how'd you meet Ken Phillips?
Craigie used to work for him. Was like an assistant for him. And he just said, go see Joey Diaz. Seeked you out. You weren't hard to find. And boom, the rest was history. Smoked that joint and then taught me about the triple runs, dude. Oh, those nightmare years. 800 miles in between gigs for like 150.
Who'd you do them with?
Oh, man, I had one guy, Joey. He was like an old, depressed guy that was drinking a jug of wine. He would take it, and he would literally cry. He would cry into like a hand puppet. I was like, bro, I'm out of here. I almost dropped him off in like Missoula. I was done with this guy, dude.
For people who don't know, okay, So you wake up one morning, you don't know where your life is going, or you're fucking miserable, all right? You hate your wife, you hate your mother, you hate everybody, and all of a sudden a stand-up comedy show comes on. In the middle of this, you say to yourself, I could do this. You go to the fucking bookstore, you buy a book with your last $8, you read up on it. You go in the Yellow Pages. This is way before fucking... I'm talking before internet.
Before internet.
You go in the Yellow Pages. You look up comedy clubs. There's two fucking comedy clubs. You go down there one night. You pay the fig to get in. You pay two drinks. You watch. And on the way out, you see they have an open talent night. Your fucking senses go off. Your senses go off. Ding, 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 ding. You're ready to fucking go. You get
it's
your
a great idea.
Oh, my God. You get your material ready. You tell all your boys, the people at work. 22 people come out. They're rubbing your shoulders. This is your big
Rocky
fucking
moment.
Chance. You go up there and eat the dick of life, right? You just, it's like a dick comes out of the back and goes right to your
right
mouth.
Through your head.
Right through your head. But you go off that stage and it's like Cupid. It's an exhilaration. It's this feeling.
More.
It's me throwing you off a building with a parachute. It's you choking somebody. It's just you coming in somebody's mouth. It's everything rolled up in one. You leave there. You think about it. And you go, nah. Right? You go, nah. Yeah. Then you go out and you see one of the guys that night says, you're great. Where are you from? Boston. I'm from Boston. You went to UMass. I went to Emerson. Blah, blah, blah. My brother runs a piano bar on Tuesday. Come on down and do it again. Lee, after the first time, somebody will all, that's the devil that comes up to you. There's always a person there who goes, hey, man, what are you doing tomorrow night? Go to the coffee house. And all of a sudden, he just poof, disappears into the air. And you're like, okay, I'll go to the coffee house. And that second time, Lee, it's like doing heroin the second time. Now you start shuffling your life in your head, like, maybe I'll do this, I'll do that. And then you go out more and talk to people, go out more. Now you have a year in. You have a direction. You have a schedule. You have a day job. You're still going out at night. And all of a sudden, Mike Fabian comes up to you and says, hey, you got a car? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, it's brand new. It's a Volkswagen. I got a warranty on it. What do you get the miles to the gallon? 60. How would you like to open up for me on the road? And then the guy will say to you, how much time do you have, Lee? And you're like, 13. Perfect. You need 30, but fuck it. We'll just roll right on the way, you know? That's comedy, guys. Tribble is the first door that gets open to you to play every back. You know, like there's a city. All right. When we tell people I'm from Boston, I tell people I'm from Boston because I'm really from
anywhere. Worcester.
Worcester.
Places on.
But there. I don't have time to fucking explain. So I'm from Worcester, right? Let's pretend I'm from Worcester. So the big comedy club is Boston. What's the second big comedy club?
Probably Worcester.
Well, it's not that.
Or the Chinese restaurant.
The Tribble Runs are the third big city in a city. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's like Malden.
So, yeah, it's the third. It's the third.
Saugus.
It's the third big city in a city, okay? And what he has is a bar. I mean, and here you are. Like, you're in your hotel. First off, you get up and you get your whole hotel room. You've made it. Mm-hmm. In your head, Lee.
Somebody paid for this motel.
And all of a sudden, they'll come up to you and say, do you want to do a sound check? Sound check, sure. You go over there. You don't know.
It's your first.
It's your first. You get on. Now, you have like, it's very interesting because you have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every night in a different 8-hour drive between cities.
Do they have those in like hotel room bars? I saw that once. I forget where it was, but it was like a bar. And they had like a little wooden, like,
what's the hotel stump that he has a lot of?
Red Lions, Red Lions, or something like that.
Red Lions.
That's crazy.
But I remember getting to the gig and then hoping the hotel was there for you. You know what I mean? You weren't even sure if it was going to be there. You'd be stranded in the middle of nowhere, you know, these guys, these little gigs. But, dude, those were like that's where I met the Holodome. You know that Holodome in South Dakota? It was a Holiday Inn with a dome because it was so cold up there. They'd play football with their families and have like events there. It's, I mean, in the middle of nowhere, bro.
I went all the way to Snake River, one of the Dakotas. But we went to one place, dog, that it was fucking scary on those Tribble Runs. And by Tuesday, I'd say to myself, I could go the whole week without blow. But by Friday, I'd be fucking dying for a bump. And I remember going to a Snake River and going. It was a two-nighter. It was Friday and Saturday.
What state do you think? A Dakota? One of the Dakotas.
It was far, Jack. You know, it was like.
I went to Haver, which is on the top of Montana, in the middle of nowhere. It was like a town of 64, and everyone was there.
Everybody's there.
The whole town.
You don't understand. You're like a fucking big time. The comedian, there he is. Yeah. He's coming to town. Oh, shit.
You just drove 800 miles. You've been eating fast food.
Oh, my God.
All you want to do is crash, and they're like, welcome to the stage. Dude, I remember I drove 800 miles from one gig to the next. And when I got there, I got heckled the whole time by these three young jerk-off drunk douchebags. It was awful, dude. Driving 800 miles to get heckled the whole time.
That's 12 hours, right?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Guys, when I first got introduced to Tribble, it was January of 95. I had just quit Colorado Sports Advisors for the last time. I had a little account going. And I would do Tribble Runs, and I would deliver Chinese food when I was home. But I would go on the Tribble Runs for 3 weeks straight. I knew nothing but Tribble Runs in those days. And I got to tell you, man, it's a crash course into fucking comedy.
Yeah.
It's a crash course. Like, whatever holes you had in your game after 6 months of Tribble Runs, there won't be any holes in your game. You're not going to be fucking Johnny Bananas still, but all those little dummy things that you do, that we all do, just dumb habits, you'll work them out because it's 4 nights a week. And then you learn how to share a room. Like, you go to the hotel on Sunday morning, go, what are you going to charge me to stay here the extra night? And they'll say, well, we'll give you a rate of $42. You only made $75 the night before. So you're sacrificing a night of peace. Then you got. Then you ask for a late checkout on Monday till like 2, and you eat the crackers, the bagels for breakfast, the muffins. You take
the
everything.
Sweet and low pack.
Lee, everything. You take everything. Yeah. Your car, I had a Datsun B210 with everything, Lee. I had a pole in the back seat where you could hang clothes. I had a sleeping bag, a pillow, a blanket, an extra blanket, flares, radiator repair, an extra tire, blow thing for the fucking the tire got flat and you didn't have a spare. You could at least ride it like a Puerto Rican to the gas station. Lee, you have everything. Boxes of rolling papers, Band-Aids, everything. You learned to have everything because you're living on the road.
I destroyed rental cars. Destroyed them. I remember I got one at like 50 miles, original miles. I brought it back. It was like 12,000 miles, dude. And they're all like, what the heck? With, dude, 12,000.
Unlimited. When they give you that unlimited, you fucking
I remember the run, too. I went all the way to Houston, then up to St. Louis, Chicago, North Carolina, back down to Houston, Little Rock, and then Arizona, and then L.A., back home. But
Little Rock was where you ran out, and they didn't pay you because you ran out with the check.
Oh, that guy.
And Joe Chadwick didn't pay you the money. In the whole. That's where the hotel bed broke for Ralphie.
Which
one? On the third floor in that hotel. It was like an OK hotel. They put him on the third floor.
That was the name of the place. Yeah, OK hotel.
He broke the fucking bed, Ralphie, when he was at that club.
Oh, my.
That, you know what, though? Little Rock, Arkansas is where I found out that I had sleep apnea. Where a doctor came up to me in the hallway.
Dude, how did you do in Little Rock? Did they hate you because you're a Yankee?
Horrible. That was
the worst.
Listen, in comedy, there's going to be times you're going to get work and you're not prepared for that work.
Yeah,
I was not at the. I went to there. I was probably doing comedy 7.5 years. I thought I had the world by the balls. I was doing good in bigger, hipper cities where I could do my drug lingo.
Yeah.
But when I went to that place, that was 3 nights of just dying. And he headlined me. I just died. It was just a death. It was horrible.
Not for people like us.
Huh?
Not for comics like us.
Well, no.
We're Northeasterners.
Down there right fucking now and rock that room.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But in those days, it was 7.5 years. It was doubts. They don't like my accent. There's people with white hair. They're Christians. You know what I'm saying?
They're nice people.
Now I'm experienced to handle that. Now I know to blow past that in my mind.
Yeah.
Just blow past and do your material.
Yeah.
And they either catch on or they fucking don't. That's it.
End of story.
When you watch Stanhope goes into those rooms. Stanhope will go into a fucking church and do his material. And that's why you have to give him all the love in the world. Because it's fearless. And it's committed.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed into the material. He's in there in your face yelling, cunt, you fuck. You know, whatever the fuck has come out of his mouth, he believes it. So because he believes it, you believe it, and you just sit there and take the abuse. If you're not experienced to do Stanhope shit, try that shit. Try that Stanhope style if you're not experienced. If you don't have a fucking spine behind you. And all you guys are listening to me, you know if you're a comic, there's two Stanhope wannabes in every fucking city. Every city has two Stanhope wannabes.
And a Hicks wannabe.
But the Hicks have gone away. It's Stanhope.
What do you mean Stanhope wannabe?
Stanhope wannabes.
The cadence
to go up there. They're drinking,
just dropping.
They're partying. They party hard.
Do they admit it? It's not like an act about Stanhope. It's just them.
They don't always mean to. They're that way.
Right. It's just them doing. No. When you start in comedy, you latch on to a style until your style evolves.
Right. But I didn't know it extended to like everything about their act.
Well, you're sitting at there and Stanhope comes on. You're fucking 24 years old.
Yeah.
You're a funny, witty fucking guy. You get smacked at parties because you're drinking shit. That's the M.O. Stanhope fucking fits. Stanhope's my brother. But Stanhope has gotten beat up, lumped on his head because he's this little guy with a wise fucking mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So now those guys.
And a drinking problem.
And a drinking problem. So those guys are trapped
from
Boston. Stanhope. They go on stage and they try to do. What they do is Stanhope doing abortion jokes. And crushing babies' heads and the uterus of an unborn child, and they use big words, and it's prepared, and they rattle off that shit, and people look at you like, yeah, I'm gonna applaud because it took 20 minutes to look on the fucking internet for those big words and fit them all together in those references. But you're not selling it like Stanhope. You'll never sell it like Stanhope. It'll take you 12 fucking years to even get the balls that Stanhope
had to be Stanhope
at the 10-year mark. So it's a real, and they'll find out. I've been in the back. Listen, I used to host the second part of the Comedy Store, and Mike Fairman will be my witness. And the early part, I'd get there at 9 to secure my cocaine from the doorman and to watch the 9 o'clock guys and to watch the showcases.
Yeah.
Every other week had a, in those days, this is 15 years ago, was when Kennison was still relevant. Remember, the generation that's listening to this podcast, I'm assuming most of them are Dane Cook guys like you.
Yeah, that, probably a lot of them.
That's and that's the way it is. That's who they, right. That was their guy. I put on HBO one night, and I saw Kennison talking about, you know, why are you bringing those people fucking food?
Yeah.
There's nothing but sand out there, and I'm falling off my chair. You follow me? Yeah. I'm fucking howling. So, but everybody's different. So now...
But dude, that's better come back around, man. We need to bring that back around.
Well, no,
Rockstar Comics, dude, we don't have any anymore.
Yes, we do. Yes, they're coming. We fucking do. Yes, we do. They just don't act, you know, rock. Comedy's a different thing now. You know, everybody and their mother wants to be a comic now. It's the podcasting, all this comic thing in their face. Everybody's going for it now. And I applaud you. I just don't want you to think because you have a podcast and you look big words up on the internet that it's all going to work out for you. The common denominator that Mike Fabian has, the reason why he's sitting at this table, is because we all worked. We knew that without the work, it was not going to fucking happen. And once you establish that, like, yeah.
Enjoying the
I
process.
Know the club, the guy said, you're the naturally gifted comic. I know. Wait till they put you on the lineup at Death by Mistake at the Improv or at the Laugh Factory. Wait till they put Godfrey in front of you at the Laugh Factory and you fucking fall apart at the seams. I've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You've been doing comedy for 4 years. I've been doing comedy for 24. I've seen it from all fucking angles. I've seen people come out here, just one San Francisco, get thrown up at the fucking Comedy Store in between six of those gorillas
right. And
walk out of there like one of those people on AMC.
Walk right into traffic.
Like the Walking Dead, yeah. Because they thought that they were going to get giggles and laughs all the fucking time. This motherfucker shut. There's a thing called reality. That store. This times I go to that Comedy Store in the original room, and I get spanked, man. Oh, they spanking. You just
it's a humbling room, and you know what? We love it because it's the challenge, man. It's those rooms that give us the hardest time.
You know,
where you thrive.
I sat here with Mick Betancourt and explained to him about the store the other day. What the store does for you. It's like going to John Jock Jiu-Jitsu. If you sign up for John Jock Jiu-Jitsu, he takes the money right out of your check, $200 a fucking month. You're committed already. So you look at yourself and go, okay, I'm going to go learn jiu-jitsu. You look at the schedule and go, I can make that class, that class, that class, that class. You go to 4 jiu-jitsus a week. The people that you're rolling against up there are fucking all John Jock savages. They put their forearms under your throat. They throw you up in the air, you know. So now guess what happens to you? After 30 days of doing that, your game rises. That's the Comedy Store. I don't give a fuck what anybody tells you. That's the Comedy Store.
The people you follow at the store...
It's fucking amazing.
Can you see why there's a lot of comics who don't like it?
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. It's people who don't want to get choked up.
Yeah.
People who don't want, you know what?
It's humbling,
I'll go
dude.
Do a plastic surgery and remove my fat. I'd rather not exercise. Okay. Then go somewhere else and do it because you're never really going to get it. You're never going to see. Every time I go to that Comedy Store now, I sit there in the back. I hope there's a chair. And you sit in the back and guess what? I learn every fucking time. Last night I watched Sebastian take that room from one direction to another. I was howling, telling his mother she had bad breath, that it smells like her tongue died. I fucking lost it last night in the back. Rick Ingram fucking ripped that room apart.
Really?
Ricky Ingram took that room apart. Then Ron White went up there. This is my gym. This is my gym, okay?
Yeah.
So do you guys on this? This is like if I'm a quarterback and my gym is Brady, Roethlisberger, and C42, whatever his fucking name is, whatever.
I don't know who you're trying to...
I don't know. The fucking guy that changed his name
to number.
RG3.
Come on, guys.
This is your fucking gym.
That was a good one. I didn't know it.
This is your fucking gym favorite.
Yeah.
You know, anytime... Listen.
Those lineups are insane.
Can you imagine?
Insane.
What would you do if you got drafted by New England and you were a quarterback? Okay?
Be a little bit surprised.
Right? Let me just ask you. No. Let's talk this hypothetically.
Yeah.
What would happen if 6 years ago you got drafted by New England and you're the number two quarterback? Guess what? You're getting the education of a lifetime. Imagine you don't say boo. You don't say boo because it don't matter. They're going to do one of these one day to you. And you've been playing behind the king. watching him, his little secrets, his drops, how he fakes motherfuckers, how he doesn't give a fuck, how he deflates the balls. You learn everything.
Every little thing.
Number two. So
you win. That's you what win. You learn. You win.
Yeah, but his backups have been okay. Matt Castle's been the best one, but so far none of them have really done that well.
Yeah, but somebody's going to come along.
Matt Castle got a big contract because he was in that system and got 10 wins.
Oh, no, yeah. He had a couple good years, but he had like a one good year here, like 11-5, and then he went to Kansas City and was okay.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been great. I was actually kind of hoping his suspension got held up because I want him healthy in the playoffs.
Who, Brady?
Yeah, I don't care.
He'll be all right, dude.
I hope so.
When we lock a playoff spot and we get home field throughout, then
Belichick won't send him. They don't sit down. We were beating the Jaguars by like 40 points, and they had him still in there.
Yeah.
What is this? The fucking New England Sports Report, cocksucker.
Little break.
I want to hear New England sports, I listen to my man Tommy Heinsohn.
But those years, dude, on the road. Like Stanhope, he was one of those guys who went on the road, did those triple runs, all those hell gigs.
That's
the
how
bars,
he became Stanhope.
Exactly.
Stanhope became Stanhope in those fucking triple runs.
Yeah.
For years, he disappeared because nobody was going to give him love, and he adjusted his comedy to work in those rooms. They couldn't either stand him, or they would ask for him to come back a week later. Do you know that? That's how you knew he was going to be something special. In 19, first time I met Stanhope was 91. Then in 92, he came back to Boulder, and by that time, he had gotten Evening at the Improv. Then I didn't see him, but I heard his name. So by the time I got to Seattle, I go, where the fuck is Doug Stanhope? He goes, he just won San Francisco. They broke into his car the night of, and he went to a secondhand store and bought a suit and went up on stage and spanked everybody. First time, like a filthy comic, went up there and spanked everybody. The San Francisco Herald wrote a story about him. He moved right to L.A. HBO gave him a developmental deal for nothing.
What do you mean?
Like nothing.
They gave him nothing?
Like $30,000. He was worth $10 million, you know, at that time. They didn't even know who they had.
Right.
They just wanted to take him off the fucking market, you know?
Yeah.
That's really weird. And all of a sudden, he's this fucking... I saw him in Seattle in 95, and guys, I never saw nothing like that in my life. It's Eddie Murphy Delirious. It's Dice, his special. It's... I just saw something live that I wanted to quit because I never thought I could be that. I said, this is never going to happen.
And you know what?
So I should tap out right now.
And you did, dude. I remember when me, you, and Rogan were in like West Jersey. Was it New Jersey?
Yeah, Rascals.
Dude, you split that room in half. I was the MC. I almost couldn't follow you as an MC to bring up Joe Rogan. You crushed that place, dude. You remember that?
That was like 98, 99.
Yeah, I think it was. And dude, you creamed that room. Did you have that too. You have that too. When you kill so hard, when you get off stage, people follow you out of the room.
I love
only certain people have that.
I love going on stage and committing and taking them for a fucking ride.
Yeah,
where they look at you and they go, "We don't know
what the fuck just happened." A one man party, dude.
Yeah, we don't know.
Leveled.
What the fuck just happened? Yeah. I love that. I love those 18-minute spots when you already have it calculated.
And they commit to you too.
Oh my god,
they're in. What's next?
Oh my, and especially at the OR. Like the OR has that effect.
Dude, killing you in the OR is probably the best feeling you can have as a comedian. Especially after having followed someone pretty good as well. The best. And walking out of the OR when you're done with that set, you're like, ah, it felt so good.
Last night as I was walking out of there into the car, a thought hit me as I was crossing Sunset. I'd like to know how many sets I've done in there.
Gotta be at least 1,000 or more, right? Right?
I just like to know. I know all the corners in there. You know all the edges.
You've been in the pocket a few times.
Yeah, you take them in the pocket daily.
Do you think that could probably even be doable? Don't they keep the show sheets? The
lineups? But I don't think they like
since it would take forever.
Spreadsheets and stuff.
Since 98, 2, 10, 5, 17 years of spots. I know they have them somewhere, but I'm not going upstairs and counting sheets.
I would say close to 1,000, if not more.
Since 98, she's given me, when she was there, I got some fucking love from her till about 2003. Then Tommy came in, then I disappeared in 2007. And then since I've been back, they give me 3 a week. If I call. Remember, I don't call from coast to coast no more. I'm too old. I can't be out 6 nights a fucking week. I have a heart attack, guys. By the fourth night, I can't fucking wake up the next morning. So I could be out there 2 nights, 3 nights, Thursday and Saturday. And that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
I don't need to be out there Friday night banging out with young kids. I'm no fucking man.
No, just get it done. We have to feed our lust for, you know, just doing stand-up, man. I cannot not do it in a week.
And if I tell you something, Fabian and Lee, I hope you guys don't take this the wrong way, even the public. I don't want to do comedy anywhere else no more.
What do you mean, on the road?
No, I want to do the road, and when I'm in L.A., I just want to do the spot.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to me a couple weeks ago. I went to a gig about 3 months ago, and on the way home, I said, no offense, I'm going to end this fucking career at the store.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere else no more. I went to the factory last night for Don Marrero. But besides that, I don't want to go anywhere else no more.
Dude, it's home, dude.
It's really home. It's really home.
Welcome back, by the way. I've never been able to say that.
It's great. The people are coming to the shows. You know the people. You know.
It's good up there right now, bro.
I just don't want to go in. And people hit me up on Twitter and say, hey, come Facebook. I get fucking hit every day. Can you come to Santa Monica on the 3rd of October? Listen, you're in no fucking danger. You're in no danger. I hear Santa Monica. All I see is the 405. That's all I see now.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to go? 405. That's all you see. I see the 405 and my fucking nightmares. Done. Like, I don't want to go to 405. I don't care. I don't want to see no audiences.
No.
Oh, it's a cool room. There's a guy with a piano. They serve cheesecake. Listen, yeah. I don't give a Frenchman's fuck. I want to just go to the store. You know, I love the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. I had to stop.
That's a good club.
And it was taking the blood out of me. That 7-10 run, it was cute at first.
Yeah.
Then you're going down. I got to follow an English dude with a bass. I don't need that aggravation. You know what I'm saying?
The bass.
Yeah, I got to dig for D jokes. Like, I don't want to fucking, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to throw A jokes at these people. Nobody's paid for a ticket. They're all sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, we thought this was Orange County. They don't fucking know those people in Long Beach. They think Snoop Dogg's going to come in. They're out in the fucking back eating chicken wings, the staff. They don't know what the fuck's going on. You hear bottles banging. Nah, you know what? I'm too old to be driving around fucking town. I'll do the Laugh Factory and make a hook a right.
Yeah. The Ice House.
To the store. And the Ice House. The Ice House.
I like
House
the
is
Ice. That's a classy joint.
Yeah. Place. I got my little love going with them. They're fucking very decent people. We don't even eat.
No.
We never even eat up there. We eat the cheese, the free cheese.
One time you made me get a chicken sandwich because I was so high. But you sent the manager in without you to, like, hey, do you want something? I was like, I was too high and I got nervous. And then when I said no, you came in, you're like, get a fucking chicken sandwich. Because, of course, I had driven or something.
You're the best.
He's a savage. This guy. He's eating fucking 400 milligrams an hour a day. I got him on. He's in training in case the Russians capture him. You know how those Russian Jews are. They don't fuck around.
They don't mess around.
ISIS.
ISIS Jews.
So now, when you started comedy, you were also chefing. I remember you were in Melrose.
Yeah, I worked
a
couple of places.
For a few places. I mean, anybody who
loved it, Joey, still do.
Yeah, I know you do.
And I do that comedy cooking thing. Yeah, it's still.
Now, I remember you doing all this stuff. And then your comedy started evolving. People started talking to you. You went on the road. You did the comedy on the tour.
It worked out. I think it was 42 states, man.
Who'd you do it with?
Oh, just over time.
You did it by yourself. You went to different clubs and interviewed different people.
Dude, loved it. I love the lifestyle. I love sometimes not knowing where you're going to be.
No, you didn't do it. You didn't do it with Wesley, did you?
I did one with Wesley.
Oh, didn't he do the other one where he did with his buddies and they went across Tom?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't do it with Wesley. But I loved it. I didn't care where I was doing. The adventure of going to another state, another city, dude, it was over, man. I had to be there, the different girls in the different cities. It was killing me, dude.
I'm laughing because one night I'm fucking.
You're like the second guy in 2 months. You just laughed in your face.
One night I go to Fabian's. They got a victim over there who's sucking dick and doing this whole fucking thing. I get in the car. I go get Ricky Cruz. I go, Ricky's with a chick. I go, Ricky, get in the fucking car. He's the chick there. We go back. We go upstairs. The chick is banging. She was at the store the night before sucking dicks and fucking hilarious. She sucked Mike Young's dick.
Yeah, on stage.
This chick was hot on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Or she sucked Rogan's dick and made out with Mike Young. And fucking hilarious.
And so back
the next
place.
Night, she's at the store on a Monday night. And these guys take it back to Flame. Flame, you had this weird roommate then, that white uptight dude, and you had Ron Lewis.
Yeah.
You had two roommates then. You had a skinny white dude that was only staying with you for a month, kind of nerdy. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, what was that?
What was that about? Remember?
This dude, I had everyone staying at my place.
This was when Ricka lived on your couch.
Yeah.
Remember the day Ricka brought his baby over and had a bag around him with duct tape as a diaper?
Dude,
as a diaper.
On my bed with no underwear on, bouncing around on my sheets, and him going like, what? What's the problem? I don't know, man. How about, and then the socks off on my, and his feet on my table. 3 days, no shower. You could throw the socks against the wall, it would stick like pasta. Crawling down the wall.
Mike Ricka was one of the funniest motherfuckers that lived out here.
Mad.
On and off the stage. Do you know he used to walk to the comedy store from where? Tell him where he used to walk to the comedy store.
Like Glendale.
Dog, listen to me.
When did he leave? Like yesterday?
No, he left
6 a.m. It was like a full work day. Dude.
He would leave with no cigarettes and a dollar.
He was going through 2 sneakers a week, I believe.
He was going from
take
fucking
a bus.
He didn't have the money.
Well, where is he getting sneakers?
Dude, I don't know. He would sleep at his sister-in-law's house on the fucking floor. He would walk from the valley to fucking the comedy store.
Oh, my God.
And sit there from 4 o'clock drinking sodas, eating ice cubes, and bumming cigarettes until somebody came and gave him $10. Then he'd go on stage, rip it up. He'd get a butt when he was on fire. He was a writer for a
dude,
long
he
time.
Was funny, man.
He's a funny fucking dude, man.
He just got bitter and ran out of money making schemes.
He got mad at Dice. He had something. Now here's the other side of the token, guys. Okay, you're a comedian. You bump into Ron White. Ron White really likes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really fucking likes you. And he says to you, "You know what, man? Can you do this gig with me in Tuscaloosa?" And you go, "Fuck yeah." He pays you some good fucking money. He flies you in. You've been treated like you've never been treated before. Now he starts taking you on the fucking road. Okay. I'll tell you what happens. There's guys that go on the road with big guys that are selling out stadium tours. They make a nice living. They keep to themselves. They don't interfere. They don't fuck around, and they go back to their rooms. And it keeps the headliner thinking, what's this guy doing? Mike Ricka went out with Dice. And this is the other side of this. After a while, he just got dependent on Dice.
Mm-hmm.
And Dice found out. Dice saw that. Do you follow me?
What do you mean dependent?
Like, I want you to do your thing. Don't worry about what I'm doing. When you do with me, you're taken care of. But I also want you to do your thing. I don't want you to call me and say, yo, when are we going out again? I have to pay my rent. Do you follow what I'm saying to you?
Right.
Almost ungrateful.
Oh, you follow me? Like, when are we going out again? Like, no. It's
he'll call you.
I want to call Lee from time to time and go, hey Lee, you want to do that thing for me on Tuesday? I can't. I'm doing something with Fabian. Okay. Wow. For a minute I'll be hurt. If I'm a fucking comic and I'm real, for a minute I'll be hurt, but then I'll go, you know what? Good for him. He's getting work on his own. Now I know this motherfucker's for real. So every 6 jobs I give you, when I give you the 7th one, I can't do that one. I'm doing a job with fucking Damon Wayans that week.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to be mad at you for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm going to respect that because you're not on my dick. You're not on the fucking horn with me all day going, when is my next gig? I'm running out of diapers for my kid. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So one day the guy goes, I don't need this aggravation in my fucking life. And he lost his mind. He couldn't adjust to that. Like, how can he got bitter about it? You know, it's supposed to roll off your shoulder. This is common. You get upset for 6 or 7 days, but you're a comic. You got to go back out there. Now, you want to start a beef? It's not like Tupac and Biggie that they were on each coast to coast. Guess what? We bump into each other on the road. You know how uncomfortable it is to have a beef and get on a plane with another comic? You don't need that in your life. So just, why? Okay, he fired me. I move on. I go get other fucking work. Everything happens for a reason. Ray Romano got fired from fucking news radio. They hired Joe Rogan. Where's Ray Romano today? He's got 19 fucking shows. He's playing golf. You understand me? It's what you make of the situation. And that's what happened to Rick. A funny fucking guy. He moved back. He had two more kids. He had a child had an autism. You know, he had, and then he was, it costs a lot of money to have a child. This is a city where...
It's brutal, man.
You have to wake up every morning and make a hustle. Mike, am I fucking bullshit?
Every day.
Every day you got to wake up with the same enthusiasm you had 10 years ago. Who does that type of shit?
Yeah.
Who does that? Most people get up in the morning, go somewhere, they tell them what to do, they get on a fucking high-low or they build. Who gets up every morning and every day we have to entertain? I got a meeting at 2, I got to be nice to this jerk off.
Right.
He has to give me a deal. You know, it's fucking tough. One day you wake up and most people go, you know what, I don't need this no more.
Mm-hmm.
My brother has a restaurant. I can't take another no.
Right.
But they weren't in for the long haul. They weren't in for the whole long haul. Let me give you an example. Mike Feynman books a Showtime show. Whitney Cummings produces a Showtime show. At the same time, you've always loved cooking. You went to Idaho, you hooked up with some guy, and you created some type of show, camping. Do you not?
Mac and the Big Cheese. It's an ultimate outdoor cooking show. And we tour all over the place, dude. It's been a ride, man. A real ride. And we basically just do, it's like duo comedy, which I never thought I'd ever do. But I have great chemistry with this kid. It's like Abbott and Costello. He's just this short little chubby guy, hilarious, lovable, loves for me to like shit on him. He gives it back to me, and we both do a bunch of crowd work, and then we have a show where we're showing recipes, how to make recipes, and serve them after the show. So it's like, you're learning, you're having some comedy, and then you're going to try the food afterwards. It's amazing, Joey. Yeah.
Now, how long have you been doing this?
Ten fucking years. 10 years.
Because you've always been touring comedy and headlining and doing your thing.
I do both.
But at the same time, sometimes you go, I got a cooking show. Now, you do cooking conventions.
I do all types of things, like an RV show at the beginning of the year. You do sometimes convention centers.
I'm fucked up.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm fucked up. Yeah. Guys. I got to tell you, whatever was in those fucking edibles fucked me up today.
It was perfect, though. It was just mellow.
And that reefer wasn't bad either. He holds to the reefer.
He just took like four times what you took.
Did you see that piece of hash, Feynman?
No, this is...
Look at this fucking...
Oh, my good God. Did that come from Iraq?
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like a little piece of Iraq. Oh, my God.
The guy that gave me this is a Russian that's like 5'2". He's missing two of the little fingers. He's tatted up everywhere.
Unbelievable.
And every time I see this guy, he gives me a fucking present. Over at one of the weed stores. He's a real fucking trooper, this guy.
Oh my God, that's... What does that do to you?
This is the first time I saw it, so I'm in the same position as you, motherfuckers. Yeah. We're both virgins to the court. You know what I'm saying? This will be on fire by tonight.
So what have you been up to, dude? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Faves, I got a baby. I got a wife.
Crazy, man.
I got to fucking pick the baby up. Wow. That's a part of my life. I got to write comedy. I got to do a podcast. And then on Thursdays, I got on a fucking plane. I gotta try to stay healthy because who do you think you gotta chase this fucking child?
Yeah.
That's why you asked what we did this morning. We went to jiu-jitsu. I went Monday, Tuesday, I went to kettlebells. I've been doing the kettlebells for about a year
and a half.
Kettlebells, those Russian things.
Yeah.
Brody Stevens, Rogan, all those guys do it. Mm. But it's good for jiu-jitsu and it's good to burn fat.
Yeah.
Like if you do a high amount, then it's good to burn fucking fat and get strong.
Yeah.
Instead, you gotta go to the gym and fucking lift weights. I do that too. When I'm on the road, I go to the hotel and fucking lift some weights. I'll do anything. I'll go for walks, I'm just trying to stay alive.
That's it, man.
I gotta put blood in that fucking, those cocaine spots in my heart. You know what I'm saying?
What's your favorite cities now to play? Like, where do you like to go?
If I go there twice, I like your city, man. I like the setup. I like the setup in Boston.
Oh, yeah?
I love the setup in Boston. I love the setup in fucking Cleveland. I love the setup in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
I heard St. Louis is getting a new club.
Yeah, February 3rd through the 7th.
We'll have to go see Filato.
4th through the 7th, I'm in St. Louis. Helium.
Oh, great.
And, comedy's on an all-time boom. Comedy's on an all-time boom. Now, Punchline is opening up in Philadelphia.
Really?
To really add fucking flame, because Helium's on fire.
Wow.
Helium's the boy to fucking follow. That'll give Helium Buffalo, Philadelphia, North Carolina, St. Louis, and Portland, Oregon. I'll be in Portland in November. I like that club in Portland, Oregon. And you know where they're going to start popping up soon again? In Texas, like those big old school clubs that we used to go to. I guarantee somebody's eventually going to open one up. But the Houston laughs.
Dude, what happened to that scene? It was badass, and now it's done, huh?
Done.
It's done.
There's three survivors: Rene Garcia, Ralphie May, and Lana Turner. Everybody else is in Houston doing comedy. I think they just shot a special for Netflix. I don't know if they sold it. I don't know what.
Who did?
Westling and those guys.
Okay, you know? Cool.
Ali Sadiq is down there.
Ali Sadiq is fucking it up down there. Ali Sadiq is making things happen. But that's a new scene.
No.
He's a young guy compared to the dudes we knew down there that came and went.
Do you think comedy's still in an upswing then?
Comedy is fucking in a major upswing.
It's coming fast,
in a major upswing. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's taking cities over. People are out. Everybody has a festival. Everybody's, you know, doing something. Everybody's got a bar to book again. It is in a major fucking league.
Yeah. Those lineups times. Of the Comedy Store are insane.
The lineups
now.
Are fucking.
You cannot be insulted.
I was telling Mick this the other day. I go, Mick, you have no idea.
Jesus.
You have no fucking idea what goes up down there. And even like four guys that you look at, Steve Byrne, you know, Steve, Sebastian, Bobby Lee, and Rick Ingram, that's still a lineup from hell. That's an hour in front of you throwing fucking bangers and shit.
Have you ever, I mean, I know you like not working every weekend because you need to, you know, to have time for everything. But since it's such an upswing, have you thought about going out just like 6 months straight just
no,
to make all that money?
No way. Dude, I was just away for a month. It was over.
I can't do
it. Never again.
I can't do it.
Dude, wife, kids.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
You get off for weekends.
It's not even worth the money?
It's not about the money. It's what I can do and what I can't do.
A week and a half at the tops. Two cities. Bang, bang, out.
Not even.
Oh, yeah, I wanted
to. Listen, I went to Vegas on a Friday morning. I did a show a night, 7:30 to 9, three nights in a row. I used to do those standing on my fucking head, okay? All right? And then I came home on a Monday morning. I think we did a podcast.
Yep.
You know, jiu-jitsu, the wife, the baby. Tuesday, we did something, didn't even do a podcast, and I was back on a plane Wednesday. I got to be honest with you guys. I didn't kill myself in New York. I went to two jiu-jitsu classes.
Yeah.
I walked around. I saw my friends. I went to the cemetery. I put flowers for my mother. The usual shit.
Oh, wow.
But it's not like I was out till 4 in the morning, out partying. I got my hours of sleep, bro. Yeah. I clocked those hours, you know, because I know the other side of the coin. It's not a half-hour set no more, family.
Mm-hmm.
It's 45 minutes to an hour in front of people paying $24.
Right.
There's no room for error. I don't have time to hang out and chitter-chatter before the show. We got nothing. I don't even want to talk to nobody before the show.
Get out.
I got to think. Go home. You say a prayer before you get on the fucking car. God, bring me back here on Sunday. That's all I want from you.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what the fuck could happen? But beside that, I don't have it.
Yeah.
If it's a fucking big-time movie and they're shooting in Atlanta for 6 weeks, I'm still coming home on the weekend. I don't give a fuck about the six-hour flight. Just to see them, hug them, whatever. Oh, I'll fly them back there with me.
And I didn't even mean you'd be out on the road for, like, you could just go do every weekend. You could still do that, but I just...
Listen, this is the third weekend right now, and you and I and Faveman, I'm doing it because I committed to it. I want to go to Toledo. It's going to be a great fucking show. It's a great fucking town. I'm going to party. It's Ohio. But I'll never book 3 weeks in a row again.
Is it the funny? But what is it?
It's the funny bone.
Yeah, I did that with Russell Peters.
Yeah, it's a great fucking room, bro. I got no beef.
It is a good room.
What my beef is that I can't do it no more like I used to.
Yeah.
There's no way. I did two sets last night. Tremendous. The sets were tremendous. But for me to go out Tuesday through Saturday, even when I'm in town, I can't do it. I'm walking around at 6:30, bro. You know, you do two good sets. You walk in your door at 11:30, quarter to 12, unless you're fucking, you know, an hour to fall asleep. That's one. By the fourth night, I got 16 hours in. I'm trying to do shit. You know, you don't sleep, you don't lose weight. You don't sleep, your blood pressure's walking around. I yell at somebody, I got a fucking stroke. I can't do it no more. I did it for 30 years. I walked on eggshells. So I know what I could do, and I know what I fucking can't do. When we were doing the podcast, 2 days a week at 6, and then I was leaving Thursday morning at 6,
and then
Friday morning radio, and then Sunday at 6 to come back. Guys, I was gaining weight, drinking water, and I couldn't figure out what the fuck I was doing. I was tired. Listen to the podcast from those stretches. There's a stretch I went out for 6 weeks in a row. 8 weeks in a row. Ridiculous.
8 weeks in a
row. Ridiculous. Leaving on fucking Thursday, Wednesday night. Ridiculous. You cannot take care of all the shit you got to take care of.
Dude, especially a father and a husband and comedy and podcast. I mean, please.
Listen, I get up in the morning.
It's not a moment.
I have an hour and a half by myself, and then I have an hour with them to walk her to school, get her dressed, talk to her, watch a cartoon, daddy this.
Talk to her.
Yeah, you got to talk to them.
Talk to it.
You know, you got to talk to them for a few minutes and see what the fuck's on their mind. And then you got to walk them to school, and then I got to walk back, and then I get my fucking day started.
How do you like being a dad?
I love it.
You're good at it too, aren't you?
Yeah, I love
it. You're such a good character dad.
Yeah, I love it. I don't fuck.
She probably looks at you like, oh my god.
I walk her. I pick her up at 5:30. Yeah. You know.
My favorite part of your periscopes are hearing her like screaming for you in the living room.
Yeah, she don't fuck around though. She don't even like me on
she's
the balcony.
Be funny, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. She's my buddy. Yeah. But, you know, I could see it already. There's gonna be problems. I could see already. She's strong. You know, she's a strong little girl and shit. And you got to go back and forth on it. Breaks my heart, but it's tough. And you know, it's
compromises.
It's a different emotion having a child. And this, let me tell you what fucking is the first thing. That 60% of shit don't matter no more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, guy. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
You're done.
You're done. I don't care what the fuck you do. I don't care, you know. Because you don't have it. You're thinking. It's in front of you. Like I said, it's a different. I love being a feature act.
Oh, it's the best.
I was a professional feature.
20 and 30 and out.
Yeah, good 20 night. To 30 and you're getting your dick sucked by the bathroom. You know, when you're a feature, by the time you're featured up, by the time you do your 30, everybody's a little buzzed. Yeah. All you got to do is make believe you're making a phone call by the bathroom. The victims come to you like fucking Zomboville. Next thing you know, you're in the woman's bathroom eating somebody's asshole. It's tremendous.
You don't know whose it is.
Oh, my God. You got a Coke rock in your pocket, and you're out of there. Rogan's looking for me. Where do you go? I don't know. All I saw was a cloud of smoke in the street. Dog, I loved it. I loved all. I used to go to Miami just to feature for 3-4 weeks. Because you're working on a killer
back
25
to
minutes.
Back to back,
you're working on 25 minutes. That's deadly. You're not losing anything. Yeah. All you got to do is take 10 off that when you come back to the store. It's crazy.
It's easy.
It's fucking easy.
It's easy, dude.
But headlining, guys, is a guy in 4 shows, Thursday, the one, you know, pictures afterward. Fuck that shit.
It's work.
Somebody already contacted me for me, Ari, and whatever, to go do the South. But they were already talking about you got to leave Tuesday afternoon. Before this even conversation moves, I'm not going nowhere till Thursday morning. But you got listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
Fill in.
Everybody knows. Everybody knew this up front on this conference call. That before this conference call even happened. Yeah, but you're going to miss out on this morning. Listen. Thursday morning. And I come back Sunday, first fucking thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, you know, everybody's got a tweet. Everybody's got a
yes or no.
Yeah. No. At least I had. Not in a million fucking years.
Right.
That last week took me 2 days to recover from those 10. I was only home for 2 days and 10. I'm not young, and I can't even imagine if I was doing blow and drinking and going into the state and get a slice of pizza till 4 in the morning.
You know,
Go fuck yourself. No. I burn out. No. Those days are over with. And you have to listen. But and some people are saying, well, Joey, what the fuck? You're a pussy. No. You have to know your limitations.
Well, what do you think about Ari taking like the whole next year off of touring?
Did he talk about it on the podcast?
He mentioned it, yeah.
Okay. Ask him why.
He said he wanted to like get better.
Because he said it was a year of hell for him. You get lost, and a lot of people don't like getting lost. You know, one man, you know, when you get into comedy, you're like, I can't wait to fucking be on the road every week and be out there partying. Guys, it's great for a few weeks, and then you come home and you're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And now you start getting selective. I'm not going there no more.
Exactly.
I'm not going there. You know, I used to pick places
like
five by
or six cities.
Right in the beginning, I picked places by the best coke.
Mm-hmm.
Miami and Texas. Who's got better coke than those two motherfuckers? I'm there. What do you need? Whatever price it was, you know.
Right.
But then when I stopped doing coke, now I became a comic. Now I want to go to these cities to do fucking comedy the right way. For a long time, I cut myself short, man.
Right.
You know, I had these fucking addictions and these horns.
You're on the road.
I'm fucking partying, man.
It was a party out there, dude.
I used to headline in Houston and sell out with Pete. When Pete took over the last stop, Pete would put me in there 4 weeks a year. So I would have, he would headline me for real. Pavement went down with me. Pistol Pete went down there. It was a great, you know.
It was a party, man.
This is part, and we.
That's when Houston was at its best, man.
Guys, I used to go down there and gain 15 pounds, my blood pressure. Listen, there's an episode of Cold Case. Watch that episode with me in it, Disco Inferno. Look at my stomach. Go ahead, Lee, find it. Disco Inferno, Joey Diaz. It's got to be on YouTube.
What happened?
I used to go to Houston in those days from the 19th to the 30th.
Oh.
I used to sleep in Pete's guest house.
Nice.
Around the corner from Beaver's.
Hello.
For eggs with French fries. Listen, when you eat two eggs, four pieces of toast, and a whole thing of fucking fries, fries cut up, but fucking fries, you know, steak fries.
Yeah.
You will get. So I would go down there for 10 fucking days, guys, and just eat three meals out. Who eats at home when you're in a hotel?
Yeah.
And then you eat the apples at the hotel or whatever the fuck they got in the front. Is it on? Watch this. Look at the size of my stomach. That's the biggest I got.
Where should I?
That's the biggest I ever got.
Wait, what is this?
All right, this is a disco that they burned. The funny thing is I go up against a little Jew kid.
Should I fast forward?
Fast forward. This is the beginning, correct? Yeah, this is the beginning. Keep going. Fast forward this leap. Okay, this is a fucking badass episode. Keep going right there. Stop it right there. Okay, let's see what happens. They put a young me, and then they put me. There's Lee Syatt. There's a little Jewish kid. See, because the father was Jewish, and this kid was Jewish, but the chick was white. So the father didn't want him to be with a white chick, so he killed the chick and the son. And he burnt down the disco. Jewish Lightning. Disco Inferno. What the fuck?
Classic.
This is classic shit right here.
Classic. Oh, my God. Jeez Louise.
Oh, this is fucked up, Lee. Yeah. You got to keep going.
What is this?
This is Disco Inferno. What's going on, Lee? You're breaking shit. Lee, what happened? All right, fast forward this a little bit.
This isn't that long of a clip. It's like a 2-minute clip.
What the fuck is this? They added something. This is the end. You're supposed to go to the fucking middle. Unbelievable. Go to the beginning.
Oh, man.
This is only a 2-minute clip. Let me find it. Let me see.
Oh, Jesus Christ Almighty.
Did you guys see this the boxing thing we did? You would have loved it, man. Me and Rusty did the punchline where the comedians fight each other in the boxing ring for like cash prizes and open up for Russell Peters on the road. Dude, you got to see it. It's hilarious.
That is crazy, dog.
All those guys going
out. You got poor open micers to fucking.
Fighting for the opportunity of a lifetime guy.
See, that's crazy. It has Joey Diaz rants about, so maybe it's Joey Diaz cold case. Just try that real quick. Because somebody had it up. Yeah, see? Somebody had it up somewhere. No, all right, fuck it. Who knows? Who gives a fuck? Now, you've done a lot of things. You did the road thing. You booked some fucking commercials. You had that. But the thing you do the most now is this cooking show, which is pretty fucking interesting. Yeah. You stuck it out. I know you're making a little fucking scratch.
The book's bestseller. Get all types of DVDs. Still have merchandise. We tour pretty regularly. And city to city, good following. Always get on the local affiliates. Been on some national fronts, True TV and Travel Channel and WGN and NPR. And like, dude, this is stacked up. Things have, you know, I love doing it, dude. It's so fun.
People who have barbecues in LA always go, oh, by the way, Fabian's going to drop
I'll
by.
I'll kill it.
And cook. That's what makes. That's like the
that's
draw.
That's all I've heard about you.
That's like the fucking draw. Nobody can touch his meat.
No one can touch
his chicken.
No one can touch my meat. Come on,
nobody.
Guy.
Nobody. So So we're telling the story about the dirty chick. So we go back, and she's banging the uptight white dude. Now Ron Lewis is giving her a stabbing. Something happens. We have a little chit chat. We go, you want to make a fucking video? So we make a video of her sucking my fucking horn. And all of a sudden, after I come, she sniffs my balls, and she goes, your balls stink. Tremendous. Tremendous.
Hey, have you started this story earlier tonight?
It was like reality television at its best.
At its best. We had a wig on or something.
She had a wig. No, she had glasses. And she came on the glasses.
How fucking crazy is that?
Oh, my God.
This is crazy shit in the comedy store.
So funny. Remember you were saying you're going to call Ralphie May? You're like, get him over here. There's like a line of them. Get Ralphie over here. You see him coming up the steps.
And then we hung out during 9/11, the day 9/11, the towers went down. We all went over to your house and smoked reefer and fucking sat around. And
dude.
Long time. Fucking time, Lisa. Yeah. This
As
is
a
why.
Comic, it's like pivotal, too. You're like, when do you joke? Never do you joke, you know? It was a strange time, but the country needed comedy then, for sure. It didn't go away for too long.
I was right? A nice little pack we used to hang out with over your house in the afternoon.
That's great, dude. I miss those
Rusty,
times, dude. Had some good laughs back there, dude. Great laughs in the backyard with Manny, the plumber.
The best is when I took a shit plumber. In your backyard.
Oh, God.
And you ran over it.
That's what you... I got you the gig.
All the way up there. You rented me
the car. It
was
awful.
Five-hour gig drive to some girl up there you were friends with at a bar. And you rented me the car, and I came. It was a five-hour drive back. Who wants to stop on the road and take a shit? So I pulled into Fairman's backyard. I don't know who was in your house living there. I couldn't knock on the door. I had paper towels. I got them from somewhere.
Probably from the restaurant that you just performed at.
And I just took a shit in the whole thing.
Dude, that's an understatement.
And I wiped my ass, and I put the paper in the garbage can. I left a piece of shit out. I couldn't even see
it. It was a garbage can. It was in my backyard on the ground.
I left the shit.
It had like maggots on it when I came home 3 weeks later when I came home from the road.
No.
It
left the
maggots.
Listen to what happened. I left the shit in the garbage on the grass, but I threw the paper in the garbage can. And I go home, and he calls me. He goes, something with the rental car. Can you give me a ride to pick it up or drop it off? So when I get over there, out of the blue, he goes,
killed it.
This is fucked up.
Dude, you killed it.
Somebody took a shit in my backyard. Look at the size of that thing. I forgot all about it. I'm hollering my ass off for 10 minutes. And finally, I told him it was me who took the shit in your backyard.
Dude, how about that movie we shot in the backyard with that RV that the kid had from USC left in their backyard? Remember? With the mannequins? The Price of Love? Dude, it was hysterical. Do you remember that? This kid who rented the room from USC had this RV he bought randomly, and he left it in my backyard because it was huge. And we decided to make a movie about two guys who fall in love with mannequins. And Joey played the guy, you know, in a poker game where I won his doll from him, and I took her and dragged her out of the place. Do you remember that?
Is that on your IMDb, Joey?
Oh, yeah. Look up The Price of Love. Play that. It's so...
Oh,
dude, you're great.
Oh,
I lost Jenny to you.
It's just coming back to me now. That's right. We used to shoot some crazy shit back then.
Oh, yeah.
This is the journey, people. This is the journey. You just fucking do things, and you... It's not like we knew we were going to be Academy Award winners and that. We just took a chance. Even then, what's the matter with you?
Plowing away.
What are you holding on to your fucking beard for?
I'm really high.
You're really high. You're always fucking really high.
Giggles over there.
Let me give some shout outs. My man, Stephen Pazan, I Am Customs. Look at him. Stephen Pazan, IamCustoms.com. He sent me some fucking beautiful insoles. I put them in my other Adidas. Tremendous. Bobby Sharon and Crystal. Lauren Rosenkerr, you know I love you. John Wolf G. Yale Yofi, Michael Ladisaw, Cleo Uki Spooky, Lady J, Joey Rooklyn, and Mark Lemus. I love you cocksuckers. You understand me? What are you giggling about, Lee? What do you got going on?
I just like that you made it rhyme.
Who?
You.
Made who rhyme?
My man, Alan Pazan.
You know I don't fuck around. Stephen Pazan. He sent me some beautiful fucking insoles. One red, one blue, so you know where they go into your Adidas. He goes, I want you to wear them on stage. So I put them in my new Adidas last night and busted them up on stage. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to put them in my busted up fucking Adidas.
I noticed that when I was looking at the special. You have white shoes.
Fuck yeah.
White as fuck.
Fuck yeah. Faberman, can you believe you're still in L.A.? Is there times that you look around and you look at your... You know, you're depositing checks and you're like, I can't believe I'm still in Los Angeles. I'm making a living.
I love it, man. It took me a couple days to get back into the groove here since I was gone for about a month. But now that I'm back, I'm like, dude, I saw Luis Guzman today.
Where?
At lunch at Lala's on Melrose. And I just cool, man. Looks so, like, down to earth and cool. And I went up, but dude, I love what you're doing. You know, I love your stuff. And he's like, thanks, man. And boom. But it was just cool to be at lunch and bump into him. Very cool city. You know, but dude, I think LA right now is shining. It's like the comedy scene's good, a couple good movies coming out. I think things are in the upswing.
We're ready to get bombed.
Yeah.
We're ready for a good earthquake. More, it's earthquake weather, huh?
More rock star comics.
It's
dude.
Fucking, you know.
We've got to come around again,
a
dude.
A podcast of positives and then so, bam.
You really miss those days of rock star comics going on to arenas and stuff like that, like Dane Cook. Dane Cook was the. No, Louis C.K. is the real one.
Yeah,
no, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart, rock star. Gabriel.
Dude, there are a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, man. Yeah, there's a lot of them, man.
But I mean, like, the down and dirty ones, like Eddie Murphy and Pryor and Dice and Kinison. You know, there hasn't been a lot of, like, filthy comedy getting attention. Well, you know, Stanhope, I guess. You're on the uprise.
Well, the problem is they categorize it, right? They categorize it, and that's the wrong thing, because a lot of people aren't really that filthy. Maybe they just off what's the word I'm looking for?
Kilted.
Off kilt, yeah.
Kilted.
Maybe they're off kilt. Maybe they just don't go off talking about eating pussy and stabbing your wife's pussy with a fucking bayonet. I'll stab your wife in the snatch with a bayonet. Everyone, you know. And that's what we're saying, that you got those Stanhope types that when they're younger, in their first 2 years of comedy, you can't sit through that because they don't have the spine to say that material with confidence. They say it very, I'll crush the head of an unborn fetus. And some people in the room giggle in the back, ha 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 ha. And you know,
I'm feeling sorry
I'll
for
kick it. Your wife in the pussy or whatever the fuck they talk about.
What is it? Is it? That's not funny.
Well, it is if you say it from a certain direction mixed with intelligent stuff like Stanhope does. It's
not
when somebody's just going to fucking Google and Googling up words. That's what we're talking about, Lee. What the fuck? Kick it up, cocksucker. What do you got going on this weekend? Mama's going out of town.
Yeah.
You're alone. You only got 3 stars. You're going to go to a kettlebell class on Saturday. You got jiu-jitsu Friday night.
Oh, hell no.
I heard the fucking stories.
Schedule?
Hey, look at him. He's fucking, he lost 100 pounds.
Do you do jiu-jitsu as well?
Yeah, he just got
into it. Are you good? Are you into it?
Oh, yeah. Can't you see? He's Maya Yamoto here. No.
Some people
he's good. He wrestled in Boston.
High school.
So he's 5 foot fucking six. He's like a fucking anchor.
Nice.
When he steps like on an anchor. He's like an anchor.
That should be his nickname.
You're long.
The anchor.
You're long, and you know, you're long in 200. I'm fucking long. He's an anchor. He's a little fucking.
He's an anchor.
He puts his knee on you, everything. You start seeing stars. You see Steven Spielberg fucking. What's that movie?
He's like a spike.
Yeah, he's like a fucking spike. I'm still that favorite. I'm just.
When I love seeing you, man. I don't see you enough. Remember on Fairfax, you were there every day.
Every fucking day, tormenting you.
Everybody, Manny, I'm telling you.
What's to eat? I go there. You always had good food for me and shit.
Oh, God, Joey. Sit in the backyard on a beautiful.
We'd sit in the back. This is when the medical marijuana first thing exploded. And I would go to the one pharmacy place that was trendy and go to your backyard and I'd bring edibles and we'd fucking get blasted.
And just laugh,
and just giggle.
You never laughed so hard back then, dude.
That's what comics do sometimes. You know, sometimes in the afternoon you get together and you talk shit. And, I miss Westling. We went through a lot of guys. We had a lot of click. We had Ralphie, Westling. Who else?
Rouse. I used to Rouse. Dooley's great.
Is he still in Houston, Rouse?
Rouse is, he's in Houston. Katie. He's doing good. I talked to him recently. He's, writing. Still
I saw
funny
him. I saw
shit.
Him when I was in Houston last
time. Oh, you
time.
Did?
Yeah, he came in. He came in.
Was he partying or,
What do you fucking think? He's the man of steel. The man of steel. They gave him new knees. He got a second lease on life, Doug.
And and hands, too.
And the hands.
The
there were some great comics we hung out with. A lot of people we ran into. Jeff Klinger. The other fucking Matouche. We had a lot of fucking
people. It was so fun back then, dude, because we're all just like doing it for the love of comedy.
We used to hang out with Ralphie in that apartment.
Yeah.
We used to go to Ralphie's when he lived in a fucking 1440 right in the apartment there. It's just good to see you still doing. Where can people find your stuff, man?
MikeFabeman.com, UltimateOutdoorCooking.com, and then
Oh shit.
And then the punchline where comedyhurts.com's coming. That hour special is done, and it's fantastic, dude. You got to just see it. You'll love it. It's hilarious on so many levels, dude. All the guys from the Comedy Store on it, too. Barris is in it. Fraser Smith.
Doing what?
Being the commentator. The host,
this for the boxing
thing. The punchline. Dude, you got
to watch it. I'm still talking about the fucking cooking. I love that you do.
You asked me where you could find me, so I was like,
I thought you were giving me the cooking schedule at the fucking.
No. The fucking cooking schedule. Come on, guy.
I would love to go to Fraser Smith cooking class. That'd be a good cooking
class. That would be a good cooking
class. Listen, dog, this is entertainment to the fullest. If he was a chef and he cooked, you'd be fucking curtained. Curtain. This guy's a savage.
Dude,
trust me, bro. People.
Road's been good to me, dude. Pays way more than comedy.
Didn't you do the 4th of July or whatever? And they said, like, fucking, that was the hook that Mike Flavorman's going to be there.
Yeah.
And people show up because they know the fucking meat's good. You don't show up with a lot of meat. You know, these people.
The Jews, yeah. We do all right.
They got long pockets and short arms.
Simonte, that he invited.
Come on, guy.
He said that he invited him up to eat, to do the podcast and eat, and that they were just going to grill steaks, and then he just started making a marinade. Out of what Steve had in his cupboard.
That's what he does.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Mikey Flavors does.
I'll tear that up, dude.
He knows as well as I know that, and I have this argument all the time. Listen, I'm Cuban. I wanted to be white growing up, so I ate all the fucking staples.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more that I love more than a hamburger. But the last couple of years living out here, they're getting worse. And worse and
no
worse.
One can touch
and
my
I tolerate
burgers.
Them. I don't want to go to Unami Burger. Once I got to pay $12-$15 for a fucking hamburger, that's not what it's about, guys. So I don't want to walk in. I don't care if they got tater tots. The burger's this fucking small.
Mm-hmm.
Some fucking Japanese meat people bowing. That's not what it's about. I want fucking regular people. That's it. Last week, I went to the fucking...
That's what Kobe beef is.
Oh, Kobe beef.
People bowing.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it is. I went to the place, and I got a cheeseburger deluxe. I ate two of the french fries, guys. I took the lettuce off. I left the onions on, the cheese, and the tomato.
Yeah.
And I put a little ketchup on that motherfucker. And I bit into that burger, and there was still a little pink meat in the middle. I mean, the juice from the hamburger blew up.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And it went on my fucking fingers. Yeah. I had to get a napkin.
Down
I thought it was going to
the wrist.
Fuck up my shirt.
Mm.
That's a hamburger. Yeah. So I knew I was correct that I had lost a full patois, even of the hamburger they lost out of here. That Five Guys and all that shit. Yeah. Those are novelty burgers. I'm talking about a fucking American burger with steak fries.
Yeah.
That's the way you show up with a burger. These fucking French guys all got AIDS, these little skinny fries.
Yeah.
And they try to dope them up with garlic and Parmesan cheese. That's not what the fucking French fries are about, guy. We're missing the fucking point. We're missing the point, you know?
Meaty.
I just want some good fries that's cooked in this fucking oil that just tastes good. And then you try them for a little while.
Do you like cooking, Joey? I don't know if I've ever talked to you about that. Do you like it? Any passion at all?
In another life, my favorite man, I'm sorry to mess up your last name. In another life, I would have been a fucking great chef.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like touching meat. I could faint.
Faint?
At any time from cutting myself. Yeah. So a knife is the last thing I want to fuck with in my life.
Right.
I don't want a knife close to me, but if you chop it up, I'm the type of guy that I like putting stuff together. I went to Rudy's last week and I had the shrimp and garlic. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was perfect. It was perfect. You go anywhere else and you could taste the fucking mixture. You could taste that this was recipe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the chicken piccata there that night. Delicious. Thin, sliced, nice.
Nice, yeah. It was class.
Like fucking perfection.
Class.
You know, a lot of people go to these places, they give you the whole chicken cutlet with the fat on it, you know. So I'm the type of guy, with the little string.
Yeah.
I want to bite into a chicken cutlet and taste its fucking thigh muscle.
Essence.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. That's why I like your shit, because you marinate everything.
It's sadistic to eat the skin of this animal.
But I believe in marinating and preparing. I get fucking furious at my wife when I go throw a hamburger around and I bite into it and it tastes like meat. What happened? I got no fucking garlic salt.
We broke?
Yeah, what happened?
What's going
no
on?
Garlic salt. What broke? It's garlic powder, onion salt, fucking pepper, a little fucking sea salt.
Flakes.
You spray that motherfucker, put a little butter on that grill, and you pop that fucking burger in there. You don't even need the bread and the fucking cheese.
I mean,
it's a flavor back.
Yeah.
It's a fucking beautiful thing. You gotta prepare that fucking meat. But if you don't prepare that meat, it's gonna be like every other fucking cheeseburger in town.
Like
just a
manliness.
Piece of fucking meat. That's it. Well, we're going to give you an 1/16 of a pound. If it tastes like a fucking Swami's ass,
throw it on the grill.
I don't give a fuck if you give me a half a pound. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I want a quarter pound of flavor. Figure that out, you fuck. That's what I want, a quarter pound of fucking flavor.
Yeah.
I want to leave here and go
bursting with flavor.
God damn, that was a good fucking cheeseburger. Mm. If I didn't have heart tissue problems and shit, I'd be back in there eating fucking 14 more. I don't give a fuck anymore. I don't know. Fucking you.
Can you make a good burger? You kill it? Dude, Worcester sauce, ketchup, barbecue sauce, fresh chopped garlic, salt, pepper. Come on, man. Throw that in there. Olive oil.
Really? That's how you make a good burger?
Dude, give it the juices it needs.
So where do you put this stuff in?
Dude, you put raw burger in a big plate, right?
Right.
And you put some barbecue sauce, good barbecue sauce, maybe sweet, you know, a little bit of olive oil because, you know, juice, freshly chopped garlic, all right? And then, what was I talking about?
Your burger recipe.
Okay, the burger. Worcestershire sauce. Maybe a little bit of ketchup, teriyaki, just a tad, maybe pineapple juice, and then maybe blue cheese crumbles. And you make it, you know.
By hand.
By hand. Every single one of them.
Fuck in there.
Dude, I put together. Dude.
Stop it.
Like 500 burgers in like 30 minutes or something like that. You just kick it out. You throw it all in, blah, 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 and your hands. And I have some assistance sometimes just helping my shit. And then, boom, you're killing on the burgers, dude. Killing it. Like, this guy's higher than both of us.
So you make the burger, you squish it with your hands.
Individually.
What do you put in the fucking frying pan?
Dude, you put it on a grill.
Okay, outside. Okay.
Yeah, put it on a grill. Move it once, 15 minutes on one side, maybe 15 on the other. Do you want a little medium rare? So you want it. And then when you pull it off, a little barbecue sauce on that, on a bun, boom, you're done. No one's going to touch
it. What if I don't like, but I don't want no barbecue
sauce. Okay, then you don't put it on.
What is it with the barbecue sauce?
What do you like? Tell me what you like.
I got to tell you something. I'm in awe. When people tell me recipes, I'm very in awe because it's like comedy. Joey, how'd you do that on stage? Chefs have a secret. A little bit of mustard.
Yeah,
you don't taste that in my fucking cheeseburger. You're a fucking asshole. And you're like, oh my God, I did, but I would have put mustard in the whatever the fuck. Very interesting. When I was young, I used to make chicken a la coco.
Chicken recipe. On a cocoa?
That was a recipe I invented. It was like hot sauce, butter on chicken cutlet. I fry them with onions and garlic. It was perfect. Fucking whatever.
Hey.
I didn't know what the fuck.
But did you enjoy doing it? Did you enjoy like prepping it, putting it all together? It's like expediting several things to all come to a perfect end.
Yes, I can't lie to you. I love making spaghetti and clam sauce.
Yeah,
I love to learn how to make a good fucking meatloaf. I know how to make. Right now, I tell you what, I can make a nice mashed potatoes. I know how to make
old
a nice
school.
A little mayonnaise, a little fucking butter, salt and pepper, maybe a dab of sour cream. You squish it. You know what I like in mashed potatoes? I like a little fucking red potatoes, and you leave the skin, and you chop a little like fucking red onion in that motherfucker. Stop it, Lee. Right in your mashed potatoes. And you know what?
Don't touch it.
You only live once. If you show up with margarine, I'll stab you in the fucking kidney. Put that butter in that fucking mashed potato and whip that motherfucker up. That's mashed potatoes. But, you know, you can only eat like a half a cup and make it work for you.
Look at you.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I ate a whole fucking tray of mashed potatoes, guys.
Oh, those
I could eat a tray of mashed potatoes back in my day. I don't give a fuck.
Put a little steak in it.
Steak and mashed potatoes are next to it, you fuck.
Dude, I made mashed potatoes for restaurants that had $30 to $40 a plate. So it had to be pristine and perfect, and I love making them. It's nothing like making a good mashed potato. Can you make a good mashed potato?
Nope.
That's amazing.
But you know,
it's sad. We should teach you right now.
I should know. But it was crazy that you said meatloaf. I remember I must have been like 10 or 11. I had like this kid cookbook, and I made meatloaf for my entire family.
Yeah.
Did you ever like cook for your mom or anything? As soon as you said it, that's all I could think about.
Steakums.
You cook steakums.
I made a good fucking steakum with onions and peppers. I could dope it up.
See, your mom was still
Yeah, my mom was still alive, but she wouldn't eat a fucking steakum if you paid her $20. She didn't even know I was eating behind her back. She would call those scab meat. She goes, look at them. They're frozen. It's like a fucking scab that people put on their knees.
It looked like a human scar.
It was fucking disgusting. It was disgusting, that scab meat. It looked like a piece of meat
from steak and cheese
from a person's thigh.
My dad loves steakums.
Oh, steakums with American cheese. Cook up some onions and butter.
They get so oily.
With some fucking, with a bun. Nobody knows. Yeah. Unless you're a fucking taste test, whatever.
Steakums.
And how do you make a good steak? on a, let's say at a frying pan in your home.
Which meat? Pick the meat. Every meat's different, man. You flavor it differently. The fatty content. Dude, my ribeye kills. I always close with my ribeye if I do a evening of recipes. You know what I mean? Because it's always it's the fattiest and most juicy and delicious meat out of all of them. So you always like close with a ribeye. I usually do something like a New York strip, some black and blue fillets, you know, maybe a good carne asada, maybe a flank steak. That's a tough one. And then go to ribeye and just close the night out. And then beforehand, dude, you do a little bit of vegetables, a little bit of sausages, a little bit of grilled vegetables, you know, and just get them like maybe a little bit of fish or salmon. I do a salmon in a tinfoil wrap where it's like fresh lemon.
I like basil. Salmon I always fuck up, garlic. So I stop buying it.
You just let it cook itself at a low temperature, and you put all of it in a tinfoil so all the flavors are there, lemon pepper sauce, and just 15, 20 minutes on both sides. Boom. Dude, it's easy.
I would go get salmon from Whole Foods, take it home. Tastes like ass. Every fucking thing I put on it, the glaze, this, that.
Glaze.
It tastes like ass, so I just stop.
So, you like a steak, though. What's your favorite steak?
Like a New York cut or something.
New York strip.
Nice baked potato.
Yeah.
With aluminum foil with some butter and sour cream, some chives and that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
A nice lettuce and maybe cucumber salad. The cucumber sliced very, very thin.
Yeah.
Vinegar and oil with some heavy fucking pepper. A little dash of sea salt. That's a nice salad. Yeah. Right.
What's better, dry aged or wet aged for a steak? Because, like, sometimes the restaurants will say, like, dry aged or wet aged. And I don't know.
It just depends on what you like. It's just a different texture, a different cooking technique. It's, you know.
Julia!
Julia! Dude, that was a classic week, wasn't it?
That was, what was it? Bullock?
Lubbock.
And this waitress had the biggest tits you ever saw.
Even the dad was checking them out.
Oh, my. That's how she had to be 19.
She's just stacked.
And she and had the it. Biggest tits, and she was the waitress and the door girl, and the mom and dad.
And door girl. And fryer later sometimes.
And every time somebody wanted a beer, I would yell from the stage, Julia. We were fucking. She would come out with those gigantic. And I never hit on her. I mean, it was a shame. She's
the daughter.
She was a daughter. She was very sweet. But leader,
hands.
If my daughter's tits were like that, I'd have to pull her aside. No,
listen.
We got to cut those things down. I mean, these things were not double D. These things were
double D.
Double D. And they were natural. Like by Saturday, we got out of one of the customers or something. Like, hey, man, how big are her tits? And they're like, oh,
Doug.
She's been a little girl. And they just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's where they are today.
It's a legend.
They were not counting. Only in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Only in fucking Texas.
Those Texas girls are special, Joe.
Yeah, no. Only in
I dated that El Paso girl for a while. She was great.
Oh, that's right. The crazy
dude, she was great.
Kid,
she was great. It's a party girl. Beautiful.
She lit your house
big
on fire.
Tits. She's like Marilyn Monroe of
She was
El
crazy,
Paso.
Though.
No, she kicked me out of the house. Threw my shit on the lawn, dude. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. I had to drive to Odessa, Texas, and then sleep in my car because I had no place to crash that night. It was a nightmare, bro.
The thousand lives of a comic, bro.
That, yeah.
Falling in love, dude, on the road and stopping by their house. And
different stories with, you know. Come on, man.
On it for all your fucking supplement needs. I'm sorry. I started stepping on you motherfuckers. Let me tell you something, guys. I tell you, we went to jiu-jitsu today. We rolled hard today for that fucking 1 hour. We were sweaty up a storm.
Hell yeah.
You know what that was? Tell him, Lee. What was that? Shroom Tech Sport. Lee don't know because I didn't give it to him.
Yeah.
We
went, but he didn't give it. Aw.
See, I fucking had the Shroom Tech Sport in the fucking bag. And it gives you a little bit more oxygen, a little bit more length. It gives you more, at least I can think more when I'm in bad situations. I love all that stuff. The Alpha Brain, that's it. That's the Star Trek of the Enterprise right there. Cool. If you don't start with the fucking Alpha Brain, you're killing yourself because it's money back guarantee. We don't even want the product back. Go to Onnit.com. Look at the great selection of supplements they have, from the tea oil to the Shroom Tech Sport to the testosterone boosters. You know, I'm not one of those dudes. Plus, you said they're having a sale. Go to Onnit.com right now, and in the box before you check out, press in.
Church.
Boom! Get 10% off. They have to stay on the program. All this stuff gets delivered right to your door. Bam! That's on it for you. We don't fuck around. Like I said, Alpha Brain, the Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune. I already got the Immune ready for breakfast. When I get up before I go on that plane, I drop 3 fucking capsules. Midway, 3 fucking capsules. And when I get there, 3 capsules, just in case there's bad spirits in the hotel fucking room and shit like that. Speaking of comfort, MeUndies.com. I'll tell you, let me drop it on you motherfuckers. You guys wear underwear every day. That's 365 fucking days a year, rain or shine. There's a few days there you go commando, you're going to sling dick, you ain't got time to take your underwears off, right? Listen, luxury at half the retail price you're going to find anywhere else. When you look good, you feel great. It's a cliche because it's fucking true. MeUndies understand this, and that's why they design underwear that makes you look and feel fantastic. I got to tell you myself, I even look good in fucking MeUndies. You understand me? It tightens up the nutsack. It firms up the muffler. You know, I ever decide to switch governments, I just put MeUndies on and walk around Santa Monica. And I'll get a date between 10 minutes with some sandals and a wig on. You ain't stopping Uncle Joey, cocksuckers. What I'm trying to say is, MeUndies is a great pair of underwears. They make them for men and women. MeUndies is made from Modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. That's twice as soft as whatever the fuck you're wearing right now. MeUndies has tons of colors, tons of styles, and the only place to get matching pairs and women. So let's say you're one of these Harvey homos. You want to dress up with your girlfriend and jump up and down. Boom! MeUndies could help you out. They even release a new fucking design every month. Me, I'm a camouflage type of motherfucker. Plus, we all know that we're paying for shipping sucks. So I'll tell you what we're gonna do. MeUndies has removed that from the equation. All orders in the U.S. and Canada, I'm gonna ship to you for free. Plus, I'm gonna give you 20% off of all fucking orders. All right, MeUndies, the best underwear. If I go to jujitsu, I got MeUndies on. That's why I don't wear them when I'm not, because I got a stack. I only got like 6 or 7 pair of MeUndies. I go to jujitsu, I'm ripping shit. But I'll tell you what, the elastic has stayed, the fucking thighs have stayed, and every time I go to jujitsu, I get home, the outside is wet. But the inside is dry. It pulls the moisture from my nutsack. So let's say I was going from jujitsu to sling some dick. Boom! When I get there, the balls are fresh, as the French say, magnifique. Go to MeUndies.com right now and press in.
Joey,
and get what, Lee?
20% off your
and free shipping in Canada and the United States. Who's better than you?
Bro,
what do you think?
Killing it, man.
You know how we do.
You're
it,
killing
man.
It.
My family, I got time to
love seeing you, dude. I love seeing you too. One of the classics. You are.
So are you, Mike Flame. I learned a lot from you doing comedy.
Dude, we're having fun still, man. I'm loving it out there. The month was exhausting, but fruitful. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I see you out there still, and it brings pleasure because you and I both know a lot of people have left.
Before
we were talking about our friend Mike Rickett. We weren't making fun of him. Mike Rickett is a fucked up
dude. Trying stuff until.
But he left. You know? And the whole thing about the church, we stuck it out. You got to fucking stick it out. You're here. You already got 10 years invested. There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. But if you're going to go through that low right before you hit that high, but you're going to leave. You're going to knock the girl up and tell me some story how it's better if we live back there. Guess what? You're a comic. You're always going to be a comic. Mm-hmm. Once you leave this area, you leave here fucking brutal. It's brutal for you. Yeah, some people make an understanding, but within 3 or 4 years, you see them coming back to you. They'll tell you how they got divorced or something. Because it's fucking tough. Once you're a jet, you're always a fucking jet. Lee.
Game.
How you doing? You all right, cocksucker?
I'm great, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be back. I want to thank Mike Faman. What's the website they go to, brother? I'm sorry.
MikeFaman.com or UltimateOutdoorCooking.com.
That's what I'm talking about here. And you, Gugooch, everything all right in your world?
Everything's great.
We got new morning joint shirts and new church shirts, JoeyDiaz.net. People have been busting my balls. Toledo this weekend, Tuesday the 6th, 7:30.
Love that club, dude.
This is not happening at the, what's the name? At
the Cheetah.
The Cheetah in Hollywood. The code to come see me. The show is S2. Also, next week, the week after, Minneapolis at the House of Comedy. All right? Stay black. I love you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday night or afternoon. I haven't fucking thought about it yet.
This show is brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com. My refi. I am toast right now.
fucked up, Jack.
What do you want to say?
Huh?
What do you want to say?
I don't want to say nothing.
Okay. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and to get 20% off your order of all other underwear, shirts, socks, t-shirts, and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off all their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray. Town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York. Up to you, New York.